All right, so we're here with the 2022 Archie League Award winners, Brent Eber and Nathan Midtoon from Merrill Field Air Traffic Control Tower in Anchorage, Alaska. Hello, gentlemen.
Hi there.
Hello.
All right, so we're going to start out pretty simple. Why don't you tell me a little bit about yourself, and we'll start with Nathan.
All right, my name is Nathan Midtoon. I'm a lifelong Alaskan, born and raised up here. Went to the University of North Dakota, got sent back up here by the FAA, and met my wife up here. Married for about, feels like 8 years now, but I think it's only been six. So it's been a good time. Yeah, I've been here, been at Merrill for about, about 11 years. Started out for commercial aviation, decided to switch it up a little bit and have a little more standard home life. But yeah, before that, I was worked at a bike shop, worked at a place that made wind turbine, the wind turbine stuff, the props and stuff like that. And then, yeah, I just wanted to have a little fun.
Right on. What made you want to be a controller?
More or less the aviation side of things. I wanted to have a more stable home life than being a pilot. So it was pretty easy lateral movement to air traffic control since I had taken some of the courses at UND.
Very cool. Is Merrill your only facility?
I spent a little time over at Anchorage, but transferred back after being there and deciding kind of what type of air traffic I wanted to work.
Very cool. How about you, Brent?
Yes, Brent Eber, 44. I've been in Alaska since 2001, started off air traffic control up here. And prior to that, air traffic control contract. And then prior to that, air traffic control military. Then joined the military for air traffic control, started off in combat control and grew up in New Jersey. But did get to travel the world in the military. It's pretty cool. And met my wife up here in Alaska. Been married for 17 years. Have one kid. And plan on continuing to live up here in Alaska until I retire. Not sure if it's going to be at Merrill or continue on to somewhere else. Love aviation. I have a love of flying as well. Pilot gives me a lot of access to a lot of cool places up here in Alaska.
Good deal. What other facilities have you worked at?
Man, I worked seven different facilities in the military, a lot of TDYs. I was over in the desert for a lot of them. Stateside, Pope Air Force Base, up in Delta Junction, Elmendorf Air Force Base, and then for the FAA, worked here at Merrill. I was over at International Approach for a while, and, well, didn't really like Approach too much, so I enjoyed the towers a little bit more. Always been a tower controller.
Yeah, hard to beat Windows.
Yes, right.
So what made you want to be a controller?
Well, my first time I ever seen an air traffic control tower was in Boy Scouts. I think I was 11 or so. Went over to Dover, and went to Dover Tower. And I thought that was pretty cool. And that sparked my first interest in aviation. And in the military, I got an injury and ended up having to go into air traffic control as sort of the desk job from combat control. So that's how I got into air traffic.
All right. So, Nathan, can you tell me a little bit about Merrill?
Merrill is the busiest small tower you'll probably ever have to work at kind of thing. It's interesting. We have pretty much primarily flight training happen all day, every day. We have our itinerant aircraft to come in and out. Then we have our air taxis that go in and out. And on a daily basis, we will either work way more aircraft than this airport should be able to handle, or we'll kind of work no aircraft based on what the weather's doing. So it's just kind of like that fun chaos that happens every day.
Yeah, I have the privilege of working with you too, so I can definitely relate to that. It gets pretty chaotic. Anything you'd like to add, Brent?
No, it's definitely an exciting place to work. Something different every day, and it's very enjoyable. And the people we work with are just amazing. Everybody has a very strong dedication to aviation and air traffic at this facility. It makes things go a lot smoother than would be expected for such a chaotic little facility.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%. We definitely work with some awesome people. So what I would like to do now is go ahead and play the replay of your Archie and just to get a kind of feel for what you guys were going through.
Actually, the south side's done, so I'll be on the north side at this point.
Still copy this one, I
think. At tower, we just lost our right engine. We need to come back for a landing.
Rich 18 in November, Roger, enter right downwind from my 7-left.
Right downwind 7-left, 28 Tango November.
Transol to 123, he's got an engine out circling back for Anchorage.
Right, yeah, see, wherever's
Brick.
Tower, Transmetal 123. We're going to be entering Merrill's airspace here. Continuing on to the north, trying to get a good climb rate.
Transmetal 123, it's approved in the Merrill's airspace and Lakehead segment. There's no traffic in Merrill. I got one guy in the Lakehead, which is 5-7.
Tower, Transmetal 123.
Airport 4, that's a runway 25. I have a merchant aircraft. I don't know if they're going to need our airport or not.
Airport 4, copy. 123 Mayday, we're putting it down Merrill, runway 7 at Merrill, runway 7 at Merrill,
Yeah, he's coming off land, ready for his approved.
Landing runway 7 at Merrill, landing 7 at Merrill.
Transmetal 123, Merrill knows they got traffic cleared for it.
Airport 4, I do have aircraft fighting runway 7 this time.
Say again?
Airport 4, use caution, there's an aircraft right behind you. Move, move, move.
All right, so that was pretty intense playback there. Nathan, can you take us back to that day of December 8th, 2021?
Yeah, so it really honestly was not that different of a day from any other day after essentially like a snowstorm or something. We were doing snow removal. They had the big runway taken, so we were on a 3-4 operation at the time, and we had airport on runway 725, and we got the call from Anchor saying that this DC-3 lost an engine, they'll be circling back, which is honestly not a super weird thing kind of for the Anchorage Bowl area. We tend to have to do point outs and things like that a lot. So that on its own did not necessarily raise any gigantic red flags. But as we also watched the DC-3 never be able to climb, not be able to make the turns, we quickly became aware that there was definitely something more amiss, that something greater was about ready to happen. So we stopped our departures and kind of we got our runways cleared off and things like that, and just pretty much were prepared for whatever was going to happen next.
All right. And Brent, you were working local control, correct?
Yes, I was.
So that sounded pretty chaotic. When did you first become aware that something was not quite right?
Well, after we got the call, I kind of heard the call in the background. Nathan took the call from approach. I believe I was talking to the airport vehicle at the time. He said he was finished with snow removal south and wanted to move to snow removal north, which still kept him on runway 25. And so the landline rang at the same time. Of course, Nathan answered that phone and took the first initial call and said that we were going to have the DC-3 enter airspace with engine out. So I took the binoculars to it. And I was near a building that was pretty prominent to the south. And we knew about how high that building was, and it was much lower than the pattern altitude. So we know he wasn't getting much altitude at all. And it just didn't seem like he was climbing. It appeared he's either staying at the same altitude or descending. And at that point, it's a viable option for Merrill Field. I knew the pilot, or at least the owner of that company, and him and a lot of his other pilots have flown in and out of Merrill a lot. They have heavy presence at Merrill as well. So they're familiar with Merrill. I believe that they may have tried to come into Merrill. That's why I immediately took off the airport vehicle from runway 25, just in case runway 3-4 is available for him straight in if he accept wanted that, or runway 7, which he ended up taking. That's how it all started.
And Nathan, you were working CIC. How is the communication between the other facilities? Merrill is a very close proximity to three other airspaces. Was it difficult at times?
Well, so, I mean, it's kind of the coordinations as, you know, the initial coordination was, like I said, kind of standard, this guy's going to be entering your airspace. And it kind of gave us the heads up. Wasn't anything super chaotic about that. Even like that last flurry of kind of the communications you could hear on the landlines, it itself was, you know, it's like three or four different people trying to talk. But you kind of, we got the messages came through because we do have to coordinate so much and we're so used to it. So you can kind of pick out the different landlines that are ringing, the different frequencies. And so because of our proximity to all the different airports, we're used to that kind of a little bit chaotic type of communication at times. And I think because of that, we were able to get through all the information that we needed to have to be able to make the right decisions.
Yeah, it sounded like it for sure. And who else did you have to communicate with during the event?
I was the one that was, since I was on CIC, I was the one that called the fire department to notify about the impending aircraft incident. So, of course, I made the mistake of making that phone call a little bit late. I probably should have got a prompt earlier once we knew this airplane was going to be in minimally in distress. But until we knew he was, in fact, coming to Merrill, didn't make the phone call. But I opted to make the phone call for the Alert 3 as I was watching the airplane basically careen towards the runway. So a little energetic. Adrenaline was going at the time. So it might not have been the greatest phone call of my career at this point. But we got the point across. We were able to get to AFD there nice and quick since we don't actually have airfield firefighting on location. And then from there, was the rest of my day was spent on the phone and with all the rest of the people that you had to call after an incident.
Yeah, for sure. So, Brent, what can you tell me about the tower team at Merrill?
No, it's a great tower team. I mean, I'm really happy that we had the team there that we had, you know, very knowledgeable controllers. Everybody's very experienced and things seemed to go very quickly at the time, but things were handled very, very well. I know after that call back to Anchorage Tower telling him that the runway's available, there must have been only about 30 seconds. And then he comes yelling back that he's come to you, he's come to you. And of course, the DC-3 aimed right for the approach end of runway 7. And for the tower team to get everything organized and together within that very short amount of time was very amazing to see.
Yeah, for sure. How was the teamwork in the tower during that time? It seemed like everybody was doing everything they could to make it happen.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. It was it did run pretty smoothly for how hectic of a situation it was. Everybody was on the phone lines. I know Nathan was nonstop on the phone for probably an hour talking to different agencies.
Probably more than that, honestly.
It seemed like that long. But yeah, it was wild the whole time that the airplane was on the ground at Merrill. Everybody had to know everything about what was going on, and the coordination involved with that was extensive.
How long were operations suspended for?
Operations for the main runway for 725, it was probably 3 to 4 hours because they had to obviously clear the runway and do their little thing. But for operations for the actual airport, I think we had the airport back up and running at least on a 1-6 configuration or 3-4 configuration. Probably within an hour, hour and a half, once all the emergency vehicles had settled down and we knew what was happening, and then airport would give us back our services. I think we had operations reopened within an hour, hour and a half, but the runway remained closed until they could get the DC-3 off the runway.
How did they end up getting it back to parking?
With a crane. I had to lift it up and put its gear down, then tug it off the runway.
And how many aircraft do you think were affected just in the Anchorage Bowl by that?
Well, I mean, wintertime, it varies anywhere from 30 aircraft an hour to 70 in the winter. It just depends on the day. I don't recall almost a year ago how busy it was at the time, but just for one runway operation or zero runway operation for the hour, 30 to 70 aircraft. Then after that, of course, it was much slower, only having the one shorter runway. So there was a large amount of aircraft that were probably affected by this incident.
I do very specifically remember one of the air taxi operators that's right next to the tower. They had just loaded their caravan and they were firing it up right as the DC-3 crash landed. And watching them shut down, them getting out, unloading the airplane, then just pushing it back into their hangar. So they saw the writing on the wall. They knew what was going on. So they were affected, and they knew it would be a little while.
And you guys said the pilot was pretty well known at Merrill. Did he have anything to say after the emergency landing?
I don't recall hearing what the pilot had to say about the situation or anything, but Manny did a fantastic job of how he came in and just 45 to the numbers from the southwest. And it was just, I know you heard that last little transmission that I ended up making, and watching him skim across the trees, and about that point making the last transmission to the airport vehicle that was on taxiway Alpha off the runway, but appeared in line with the aircraft, and then him just skidding right down the runway, and the two pilots exiting the aircraft. It was just unreal, and I really wish I would have had a chance to speak to the pilot afterwards, but we did not.
Yeah, I did field two phone calls pretty much immediately after it happened. One was from the operator's base of operations in Anchorage, and it was just the very quick ask, did they make it? And I was able to tell them, yes, they made it. And it was a sigh of relief, and they hung up. And then about 5 to 10 minutes later, I got a call from UPS asking how they could get their boxes off the airplane. So those are two that calls that kind of stuck out in my mind based on the how they went, you know, based on what their viewpoints are, I guess. But I could tell at least their operations, their people were extremely happy. You could hear the relief. And then I talked to a mechanic or two afterwards, as after they had tugged the aircraft off into the parking areas. And they regaled me with, like, basically the pilot and the co-pilot were both not there, but the mechanics basically railed that they're very thankful for both the Anchorage controller that was doing all the work, you know, on their side and their frequency. And then for us, by being able to be there and make sure everything was good for them. And then he showed me some pictures of the trees that the aircraft successfully topped, and the there was a power pole that topped as well as the wind coming in down. So they're all, it was kind of like not being able to talk to the pilot, it would have been very interesting, but the other people I talked to at the time, they were very elated at the fact that we got everything done so they could safely get on the ground.
Yeah, it's fantastic. How unusual is this type of thing at Merrill?
DC-3 landing on our runway without gear down, that's kind of unusual.
Yeah, I know, I've only seen a few DC-3s land ever at Merrill, so not your norm, that's for sure.
Aircraft emergencies in general is, we see them often, but to this extent, not so much.
I'm going to go out and say that's a good thing, too.
Very much so.
Agreed.
So, Nathan, what does this award mean to you?
This award basically means everything. I mean, this is what my career goal is to just produce a very safe environment for pilots to be able to operate in, so they trust me, you know, and so on and so forth. And by getting this award, I would say it means that I'm at least striving for and obtaining the highest level of safety I can in the moment, kind of thing. So, and the doubts that I potentially had in my mind about that event and how I could have done things better, I've basically been kind of washed out by the sheer fact that I, based on what I did successfully do, and I mean, with the tower team, that we did all right, and that it rose to a level to where we are being honored with a safety award.
Great. And how does it feel to be recognized by your peers with an Archie League?
Awesome.
I second that. Yeah, that was great. I really appreciate that our fellow air traffic controllers put in their time to put us in for an award. That was something else. Thanks. Thanks, everybody.
Yeah, thank you.
And Brent, what does it mean? What's the award mean for you?
Well, there's not, I don't think I can add much more onto what Nathan said. I mean, it just solidifies in my mind that we were on the right track, Nathan and I, with the work that we put in that day. And it was a relief. It's a relief that it didn't go in a bad route, of course, and that the way it ended up turning out looked good to everybody. And we definitely appreciate the award very much.
Yeah, we definitely appreciate you guys being up there and working that too. That's a super stressful situation, and I guarantee we had two of the best guys up there that we could. So Merrill Tower has a bunch of new controllers currently training. What advice would you have for them and other younger controllers to help handle situations like this? We'll start with Nathan.
This is where your training comes in. When you're in the heat of the moment, you don't have time to really think about, well, what should I be doing next, or little things like that. This is where you were trained in a very specific way on how to handle events for a reason. And so you can basically just snap back to that basic training, do what you need to do for the operation safely, effectively, and then also be able to kind of work past the extra stress. Because if you're having to think about things too much, if you weren't paying attention, little things like that, you're going to miss stuff. And ultimately, events like this could have turned out worse. So it's all about training. It's all about, like, staying focused and knowing why you're focused.
Yeah, pretty much that old saying, we don't rise to the occasion, right? We fall back to our training.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can agree with that. I mean, there's so much involved in the NAS, and, you know, if you don't utilize every single little bit of training that you've learned along the way, or tower team, all that nature, you just gotta rely on each other and get the work done. I mean, if I don't know something, of course I lean on my fellow controllers, and between all of us, we don't miss anything, or much at all, at least.
Yeah, perfect. And Brent, do you have any advice for the younger controllers help them handle these situations?
Like Nathan said, lean on your training, trust your tower team, trust in what additional knowledge you can pull from them if you're for a loss and need help, and just trust in your training and try not to miss anything.
Yeah, that's great advice. Well, that was my last question. So if there's anything else you guys want to let people know, you can tell them now.
I appreciate this, Eric. Thanks for getting us involved with this and listening to what we have to say. This has been great.
Yeah, I second that. Thanks for carving some time out for us out of your day. We know you're perpetually busy as well. So, yeah, and I'd like to thank everybody who nominated us, and we're proud, and we're going to continue to make our facility proud.
Absolutely. Congratulations, guys.
This has been the NACA Podcast. Thank you to Eric for interviewing our Alaska Region winners. Stay tuned for our next episode coming soon.